Timothy had a disadvantage. He was still a relatively young man. Now, he was probably mid to late 20s, so we can estimate, but the culture didn't accept youth until they were fully vested, in manhood, which was about 30 years old. Jesus was 30 years old when he started his ministry. If you were younger than 30, you weren't arrived yet. And most men in that culture didn't get married until they were about 30 as well. So Timothy had the disadvantage of he was still a youth. And Paul said, I know your maturity. I know your theology. I know your qualifications. Don't let anyone discount you because of that. And in our culture, it's not necessarily youth, but fatherhood and a man who has a priority of his family, his marriage, his children, that's not looked at as a person who is accepted. Family is not the norm anymore. At least that's what the media would want you to think. Let no man despise thy fatherhood, you could say. I think the parallel is apropos. I remember army wife telling me that the army's attitude toward family and marriage is, if you needed a wife, we would have issued you one. And this was a longtime army wife, and the army demonstrated that was indeed their attitude. If you're a truly good soldier, then you're gonna sacrifice. And a lot of men were forced to sacrifice their family if they wanted to advance. That's not a good situation. Fatherhood must be a priority for a man. And fatherhood is leadership. Fatherhood is leadership. Whether you admit it, whether you realize it, whether you like it or not, fatherhood is leadership. Proverbs 17, verse 6 says that the glory of children are their fathers. And God has put in a child's heart an admiration for his or her father. That's natural. That's God-given. And we fathers need to capitalize on that. We already have the advantage. We have our children's hearts unless we do something to change that. God has put that in them. And so I believe the most foundational aspect of leadership is this thing called an example. A good leader is first a good example. You cannot be a good example by having the attitude, do as I say, not as I do, or as the old saying goes, practice what you preach. You have to practice what you preach, fathers, if you're going to be good leaders to your children. And isn't that the very nature of the word fatherhood? We're talking about your children, or perhaps your grandchildren. And so we want to look at this verse here, one phrase at a time. I tell you, I didn't give you an outline on a piece of paper, but we've got an outline here, right? How many areas did Paul say to Timothy that he should be an example? In word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. And so I want to walk through this verse. First of all, be an example in your speech. Your children will follow your example in their speech. I remember the first time I heard a recording of my voice. This wasn't as a preacher. This was I was sending a recording of a letter. I'd written out a letter and was going to send a recording of that to a friend of mine. And as I read a bit of it, I reviewed it, rewound it, and listened to it. It was really weird. I sounded just like my dad. I don't know what to say other than weird. It sounded like, wow, had no idea I sounded so much like my dad. Inflections and just the tone. I can't really say what my emotions were at that point, but I had no idea. And whether whether we're talking about the sound of your voice, but also the tone of your voice, your children will follow in that example. How you handle a situation, how you talk to people, especially them, your children, they're going to copy that for better or for worse. I want to show you a verse in Colossians chapter 3, verse 21. There's a parallel verse in Ephesians 6. In fact, I preached on that verse in Ephesians 6 before. But I want to show you an interesting thought in this parallel verse, Colossians 3, verse 21. It says, "Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged." Fathers, if you are not a good example in your speech to your children, this is the result that will happen. They will be discouraged. They will assume, as you show in your lack of a good example, perhaps in anger, perhaps in impatience, you know, "Get away from me, kid. Get out of my way, kid." That type of attitude. They're going to assume, even though you didn't say the words, but that you just don't care. That they're not very important. And they're going to be discouraged if you provoke them to anger. That's what the scripture says. Be a good example in your speech. Instead, as you avoid words of anger and impatience, use words of kindness and grace. Use words of gentleness. Let's look at a familiar passage, this time in Ephesians 4. And again, in the way of example of how we use our speech, Ephesians 4, verse 29, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice." That word of "put away" is the same concept as divorce. To separate from it. Put it out of your life. And also all malice. And here's what to put in. Put in your speech. Be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. This affects, as an idea of your view of God as well. Fathers, you are giving an impression to your children of their heavenly Father. If you as their earthly father give them the impression that you don't care about them or that you're always upset at them, then they will assume that God, their heavenly Father, has the same attitude toward them. And they will be very, hesitant, for lack of a better word. They will assume that God doesn't have time for them or that God is upset at them because of their failures, etc. Use words of kindness and grace. Reflect the kindness and grace of our Heavenly Father. And Ephesians 6:4 says, "Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord," the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, the training and instruction of the Lord. So use those words, use your speech to encourage them and to teach them. So my question is this, fathers, how often do you deliberately instruct your children? And I'm not talking about correcting them when they've done wrong. That needs to be done. But I'm talking about when nothing is wrong and you are saying, "I'm going to spend time teaching and encouraging my son or my daughter." That is the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. And the best way to start is to say, "We're going to read the scripture together. We're going to talk about what God has said to us." And that's the best way to start. But hey, if you teach them how to fish, if you teach them how to hunt, if you teach them how to work on cars, if you teach them your trade, if you teach them this and that, that's a wonderful, wonderful thing. That is showing that kindness and attention that God shows to us. What interests them, you take an interest in that and connect with them. Use your speech to encourage and teach them. The next area of your example is this. The King James uses the word conversation. We don't use the word conversation in that sense anymore. It basically means your lifestyle, your conduct, your behavior. You need to be a good example in your life, in the way you behave. Your children will follow your example, for better or for worse, in the way you behave. As I said just a moment ago, practice what you preach. Don't tell them, do as I say, not as I do. Your actions, more than your words, determine for them what is normal and okay. Don't tell them, don't do that, and then they find you doing it. Because if you do it and you told them not to, they will assume that it's okay. And as soon as you turn your back and know you're not a mother, mothers have eyes in the back of their head, fathers don't usually, they will do what you have done instead of what you have told them to do. You need to follow with your example in your actions what you have said to them in your words. That determines for them what is normal, what is okay. You are the example of manhood to them, particularly your sons, but also, of course, your daughters. How do you treat your wife? Do you treat her with gentleness and kindness, politeness, affection? Well, I hope you do, but if you don't, your children will assume that's okay and that's what people do. How do you treat your wife? What are your viewing habits? You need to be very careful of what you allow your children to be exposed to. And oh, by the way, if it's an adult movie and your children aren't allowed to watch it because it's got adult stuff, then it really begs the question, should you be watching it? But that, maybe that's a different issue. But even if you're watching a sports event, the sports event itself might be harmless, but what about the commercials that are shown in between? What are they being exposed to? How are you guarding them? What are your viewing habits? Because what you view is normal and okay in their mind because dad does it. How do you use your time? What are your priorities? What do you spend your money on? That's going to be normal and okay for them, for better or for worse. How do you treat your peers, the ones that you work with, the ones that are your age? How do you treat them? Do you treat them with respect? Do you treat them with criticism or whatever? That's going to be an example to them. How about your attitude towards people who are different from you? Different culture, different race perhaps, different beliefs perhaps. Your attitude towards them, again, will set the normal and okay for your children's attitude towards those who are different from you. Do you show humility by apologizing when you are wrong? Now, all of us expect our children to apologize when they're wrong. But what about you when you are wrong? And do you apologize? Do you humble yourself? Do you set the example for them? And one more thing. I remember seeing my father leaning over the bed and praying. I remember seeing my mother do the same, except it was always in her chair. But I wonder, fathers, do our children see and hear us pray? Do we set an example as men of prayer, as men of godliness, as men of looking to the Lord for our own guidance? And if we want our children to follow the Lord, which of course we do, then how about you in setting an example in that very area of your own life? The next area of example is in charity, or of course love, your affections. What do you love? Your children will follow your example in what they love because of how you've shown what you love and how you have shown it to others and to them. Turn to 1 John chapter 2 with me. 1 John chapter 2. verse 15. The Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. They cannot coexist. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Are you showing love for the things that last, or the things that satisfy your flesh? Again, back to viewing habits, back to your how you spend your idle time. What are you showing your children about your own love and the things that you set as most important to you? 1 John chapter 4 now, verse 7 and 8, says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. This is how we teach our children about love. We teach them by example. You can talk about love all you want, but if you don't demonstrate love for God and for your neighbor in your example, in your own life, then they're going to learn from your actions and your attitudes much more than from your words. Jesus said the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And you demonstrate that love by loving your neighbor as yourself. So back to the question, what's your attitude toward those that are different from you, those that are difficult to love? How do you demonstrate love? What do you love? Do you love the things of the world? Again, viewing habits, priorities. Do you love the things of the world, or do you love the things of God? Example is where it's going to come down. How about this? Again, do you show love to your wife? Husbands, love your wives. This is an example in love. And also to your children, do you tell them that you love them? 2 years ago, I preached a simple message. Fathers, love your children. Do you tell your children that you love them? My children have a habit. Whenever it's bedtime, and I'm leaving for anywhere, even out to the yard, bye, Daddy, I love you. Bye, Daddy, I love you. And that's a habit that they started on their own. It's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing. You tell your children that you love them. Are you gentle with your children? Do you show humility in serving them? Or do you expect them to serve you? There's a little bit of both of that, of course, but who's the first to serve? Who's the first to show humility and love? Who initiates that love and affection and tenderness in the in the relationship? I read about a man who was a high-ranking military official and a very large man. I mean, an enormous individual who had earned the right to be called a man's man, and yet he called his son John Deere. No, it wasn't. His name wasn't John, but what was his name? It was Jim Deere. He called his son Deere, along with his name, all the time, and it was not out of place at all. I'm not saying that you have to do that in order to show love, but this man's man excelled at being tender and gentle and loving toward his grown son. And it made an impression on the man who was telling the anecdote. Be an example, Timothy was instructed. Be an example of the believers in word, in lifestyle, in love, and also in spirit, which I would take to say in your attitude. In your attitude, what kind of example are you setting? Are you a complainer, or are you a thankful person? Are you critical, or are you an encourager? Are you submissive to the authority that's over you, your boss, your government? Are you submissive, or do you complain and try to get around things? Again, the example that you set will be the norm and the okay for your children. Are you patient, or are you irritable? It's your attitude, your example of your spirit, your attitude. Also in faith or faithfulness, your confidence in God and your own trustworthiness. Are you a good example in this area of your life? How do you respond, excuse me, to hard times? When things get rough, when the finances are tight, when the stress is high, how do you respond? Because as we know, our response to our circumstances reflects our attitude towards God and, of course, toward our fellow man. How do you respond to hard times? Do you turn to God in hard times? Do you lead your family in faith, or do you kind of close up, or do you start to get bitter? How do you respond? Do you lead your family in worship? Do you read the scripture to them? Do you pray with them and not just at the table? But do you lead your family in faith? Do you bring them to church faithfully? Do you encourage them to trust God when they're going through a hard time? Do you direct them to their Heavenly Father and to their sustainer? Do you keep your own commitments? Are you trustworthy? Are you faithful? When you make a promise, do you follow through? This is the example that you're setting for your children. Do you practice what you preach? And the final area of example is one that for us men, we tend to struggle with. And that's the area of purity. Or I'd say a parallel concept is your integrity. The world is bombarding us with impurity. Sensuality is the norm. Again, I caution you to be very careful and very critical and very protecting of your children with those things that come into your home through the television, through movies, and through the internet, and through the reading material that is in your home, because sensuality is all around us. We need to be an example in purity. Your children will follow your example, even if you think your indulgence is private. Psalm 101, verse 3, I will set no wicked thing before my eye. Job 31, verse 3, I have made a covenant with my eyes. How then shall I think, that is, think lustfully upon a maid? And as far as an extended passage, Proverbs 5 and 6 and 7, I encourage you fathers, particularly with your sons, to walk through those passages with your sons individually, talking through the topics that the Proverbs, those chapters in Proverbs bring up. It is vitally important to their health in this area of extreme importance. It's extremely important. And when your sons and your daughters, again, husbands with your wives, make sure that you have that talk with them about the purity of their sexuality. And in this area, for them to be instructed and nurtured in this area by their parents. So they don't learn from the world. They learn from you. Are you pure in your own life? Are you a man of integrity? Have you committed yourself to purity and integrity? Have you developed a loving, growing relationship with the wife of your youth, their mother? That's the best way to cultivate purity in your own life. And fathers, that's where you need to begin with this matter of purity. Your children need to understand that your wife is the apple of your eye, that you are fully committed to her, and that you love and enjoy the relationship you have with her. And meanwhile, guard your eyes, guard your heart, guard your relationships. Be an example in purity. And so, in conclusion, let me review. Fathers, we need to lead our children by example in our speech, in our behavior, in our affections, in our attitudes, in our confidence in God, our faith, and in our integrity. They are following you, following your example. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you that you are the perfect Father. You have no faults. You meet our needs completely. You keep your promises continually. You always have been, always will be the perfect example for us. And we as earthly fathers, we fail so much. But Lord, I pray that we would set high goals for ourselves and be humble enough to acknowledge when we fail. I pray that we, for your glory's sake, would be good and godly examples for our own children and for our families. And for the name of Christ, that through that example, we would bring glory to you and speak and cause others to speak well of Jesus Christ, our Savior. It's in his name we pray. Amen.